Check, check. Am I on now? There we go. Psalms 121. Forgive me, I'm getting over a cold too, and I'm stuffy and sound really nasally, so sorry about that. Psalms 121. I'm going to just share from my heart here for a little bit, then we'll get into the notes for today's message. Through the worship and through just the service, just sensing that there's a heaviness here. There's people here that are dealing with some big things in their life. I know many people are discouraged and disheartened because of our resignation and our departure. But I want to read for you something, Psalms 121. And I want to encourage you. What I'm about to say, it's to encourage you, okay? It's to encourage you in love. But it's also a very clear message that the Bible gives all of us. And it's this, Psalms 121. I'm going to read out of the NIV. That's what I have today. It says this, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. There he says it again. The Lord is at your shade and at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. There he says it again. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over, again, there it is again, your coming and going, both now and evermore. And one, praise the Lord, right? And I sense, and I have a conviction here, and I'm not trying to scold anybody. I'm just saying, the Lord will watch over you. Psalms 23, the first line says, the Lord is my shepherd. And I want to say a few things here today. And, we're going to talk about grace. And you need to have grace for me, and I need to have grace for you. But I want to pause before we get into the message and just let you know, in my standpoint here, do you know that this is what I do, but this is not who I am? And what do I mean by that? You see me on a Sunday morning, and I am a pastor on a Sunday morning, and I'm a pastor through the week, but I am a Christian Monday through Saturday. You're not seeing my Christian life right here. You're just seeing me deliver the message as a pastor. If you want to see me as a Christian, visit me Monday through Saturday, and you'll see my faith. And I say this out of respect for you and out of love for you. At the same way, here on a Sunday morning, this is just simply where you show up. But if your entire extent of Christianity rests on a Sunday morning experience, you have a very shallow Christian life. I say that with a smile, okay? I know that's hard, but it's true. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Where does your help come from? It comes from the Lord. There's no salvation in Jeff McCoy. There's not. And I'm looking for people that are willing to rise up and to say, you know what? Richmond is just getting started. Amen, Pastor Val? Richmond's just getting started. We are not going to go backwards. We're not going to fall into a slumber. We're not going to go back to where we were 13 months ago. It's not going to happen. Richmond is just getting started, devil. You better look out. And so I have a conviction, as you can see, to claim the faith that you say you live. The Lord is your shepherd. He will watch over this flock. He will watch over you. You can bank on it. It just said it 6 times in one chapter. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, now for the message. Here we go. We're going to turn to 1 Timothy. I'm going to share here some notes, and I'm going to put my Bible down and end the message from my heart without my notes, just talking with you. Get yourself some popcorn, some soda, and we're just going to talk. Is that okay? We'll go to the Word of God, and then I'm going to step down and just share with you from my heart, and we'll end it. We'll end it from just a conversation in the living room. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. When Rebecca and I first got married, we registered at Target and different things for our marriage, and somebody got us a bread maker. Does anybody have a bread maker at their house? An official bread? Okay, a lot of people, right? Okay, good. We had a bread maker, and we took it home, and we figured, you know, when we're first getting married, we're going to make some bread, and I told Rebecca, I said, I want to make you some bread. You know, I want to be the strong 21-year-old husband that I'm supposed to be and make you some homemade bread. And so I started the recipe for homemade bread, and I remember this It was supposed to be white bread, okay? Very simple white bread. And I started pouring in the ingredients into this recipe and so forth, and about halfway through it, it called for a cup of sugar in the bread, a cup of sugar, an entire cup. So I went to the counter, and the white stuff that we had, I just put a cup in there and poured it in. Well, later to find out, guess what it was? Yeah, it was salt. Yeah, but we didn't really quite notice it until we... It baked, and it looked fine, and it came out of the little bread maker really nice, and oh, it looks so good. So I cut off a real nice big piece for Rebecca, and I cut off a piece for myself, and put some butter on it, and we started eating this bread. Probably, what would you say, a bite, maybe two bites into it, we realized something was drastically wrong with this bread. We were like, oh yeah, it was so salty. I remember we drank so much water. Do you remember? We drank so much water when we were eating that bread. I remember in the middle of the night, we were laying on the bed, and our lips, we were still like this. So you want some water? Yeah, I'll take some water. It's like 3 a.m. There are proper ingredients to put into a homemade bread. There are proper ingredients to put into a recipe that leads to unity within a church. I'll say that again. There are proper ingredients, the right ingredients and the wrong ingredients, that lead to unity within a church. One of the main ingredients, it's not salt, you know, into a church, even though that's important, you need to be the salt. One of the main ingredients in the recipe to bring unity within a church that a church must have, including Richmond, including the church down the street, and all the other churches in America and the world, one of the main ingredients that you should have as a Christian as well, as you deal with other people, starts with a G, grace. Grace. The Apostle Paul, as we're going to look at here, do you know the Apostle Paul was one of the most intellectual followers of Jesus Christ in his day and even today? The Apostle Paul, did you know that he wrote the majority of the New Testament? He wrote the majority of the books of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. And do you know one of the main subjects that Paul talked about in the New Testament was the doctrine of grace? Grace. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Grace, it's vitally important we have grace as a Christian. It's vitally important that we live under God's grace. We need God's grace. How many of you know that? We need the grace of God. I do. You do. And we need grace with each other. You needed grace 13 months ago. You need grace today. Guess what? You're going to need grace tomorrow. You're going to need grace with your relationships and with the pastors and with everybody that you follow. You're going to need grace with them. I need your grace. I'm going to share a little bit about this later on. Grace. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's look at this. We're going to kind of change text. It says Colossians. We're going to go to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Begin with verse 12. If you could turn there with me, that would be great. And as you're turning there, stand with me. And the word of God is being spoken over the people at Richmond. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Beginning with verse 12. Paul says this. He says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Verse 14. Paul says this, he makes this acknowledgement, the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, I ask today, God, as I have asked the time that I've been here, as long as I've been here, I pray, God, that your word will reveal itself to us, that your Holy Spirit will open our minds, that will remove distractions, and that we can see what you want us to see today. Father, we want to leave here changed. I pray that every week we would leave here changed, more mature, complete, closer closer to living like Jesus Christ. Help us to do that. Lord, today help us to have grace. Help the people have grace here at Richmond for me. Help me have grace with them. Help us have grace with each other. Help us to have grace for the next pastor that comes in here, Lord. Grace. We live under your grace. We need it. And I pray, Lord God, help me, Lord. I'm not feeling good. And I ask God that you just help me communicate. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Grace. Paul, other than Jesus, there is probably no other man that caused as much controversy in the New Testament church than Paul, the Apostle Paul. When Paul came to Christ, did you know many Christians doubted it? When Paul came to Christ, many Christians were skeptical. They'd say, no, he didn't come to Christ. Wasn't this the same Paul that persecuted everybody? Isn't this the same Paul that threw people in prison? Isn't this the same Paul that had so-and-so killed? Surely this guy didn't come to Christ. The Apostle Paul understood what it's like to be an evil man. He was an evil man. And yet he says here, if you remember, and I'm trusting that some of you might remember this story, that on the road to Damascus, right, Jesus showed up on the scene on the road to Paul, right? Saul, Paul, same guy. And he had an encounter with him, and God gave him grace. Paul is a man who experienced, though, because of his past, more persecution, more problems, more setbacks, more difficulties than any other man in the New Testament because of his past, because of the fact, not only because of the fact that he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, but he also, in his past, was a very violent man. He would separate people from families and just persecute them and just throw them in prison. Paul would do this. And so when Paul says here in verse 12 that we just read, I thank Jesus Christ our Lord who has given me the strength, even though I once was a blasphemer and a persecutor, and even though I was once a violent person, I was shown mercy. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. If there's any, how do I say this? If there's any man who had the right to be bitter and angry at the church, it was Paul. If there was anybody who had a right to be angry and bitter at Paul, it was the people whose lives he destroyed. We're talking about churches and people whose lives were destroyed, and we're talking about Paul. These people over here, their lives were just destroyed because of what Paul did previously. And then Paul here, it's almost like what comes around goes around. Paul, as he's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, he's being thrown into prison, and he's being thrown and almost stoned and almost killed several times over. And so these two parties, these two groups of people, I mean, they're on a collision course. Paul had every right to be just ticked off at these people. And these people had every right to just be ticked off at Paul. Yet, out of this, Paul would often highlight the importance of selflessness, of love, of grace to each other and toward one another. Who better preach about grace of God than Paul? One who had experienced the abundance of God's grace. God looked past all of that stuff when Paul was on the road. And he said, you know what? None of what you did in the past matters. I'm going to change you. I'm going to bring you into a new person. Has that ever happened to anybody in here where God says, none of that even matters. Your past doesn't even matter anymore. I'm going to bring you into a new person in me. I know I have. I don't know about you, but there's some things in my past that I want God to forget. Right? And Paul was the same way. Paul was the same way. Once Paul was extended grace, he had to preach about it, and he had to live it. In other words, stay with me here. In other words, Paul's ability to write the New Testament and to write about grace was directly linked to the fact that he was first extended abundant grace. Have you ever made a mistake? Have you ever been so embarrassed? Have you ever done something that was just so humiliating and shameful? I remember talking with a couple who just experienced a bankruptcy. I don't know if in here if you've experienced bankruptcy, but this person was saying, he was saying it was so humiliating as the man of the house to file for bankruptcy. I thought I was doing well financially. I thought I was getting our family onto a right track, but we had to file for bankruptcy. We lost everything. We lost our home. We lost our cars. We lost all the cards. We lost everything, and I had to do that in front of my teenage kids. He was utterly embarrassed. But then he said this. He said, anybody that goes through a bankruptcy, I don't point my finger at them. I understand what it's like to go through bankruptcy. And the Apostle Paul understood what it's like to experience grace. And so, since he understood what it's like to experience grace, he had tremendous grace for the churches in the New Testament that he went to. Grace. We're talking about grace this morning. In the same way, you and I need to have grace for one another. In the same way, you need to have grace with your neighbors. You need to have grace for people who have hurt you. You need to have grace for people who have wronged you, who have disappointed you, who have let you down. And if that's me, then that's me. I need your grace. You need my grace. Grace is what the Christian life is about. Thank you. Yeah. Grace. Grace. Usually, people who do not have grace are tight-fisted, they're proud, they're Mr. and Mrs. Perfect Christian, they're people who think that they act like they have it all together, they're people who have not experienced setbacks and those disappointments. Those are usually the people who have trouble extending the hand of grace. Also, people who have not forgiven themselves find it very difficult to forgive somebody else. That's true too. That's true too. Grace. Some of the nicest people are people outside of the church. How many of you know that? You ever wonder that? Sometimes I look at these people that are going to these bars and things like that, and I just say, you know, this is just a confession here, if that's okay. I can confess. It's my last day, so I'll confess a little. I drive by, and I see these people that are going into these, what we would consider sinful places. And I say, they look so happy, right? Why do they have, well, they look so happy. They're obviously not lovers of God, but why do they look so happy? Some of the nicest people are people that are outside the church. And that shouldn't be, right? It shouldn't be. We should be known for the nicest people. We should be the people that are grace-filled lovers, people that are lovers of people that have grace and forgiveness toward one another. It should be us, the Christians. Now, I got to say something here about Richmond, and this is my way to go to Richmond. Since we've been here, one of the things that attracted Rebecca and I here is, you know, Richmond has, I can just sense that you are people who do not judge outsiders coming in. Praise the Lord for that. You are. I've been in a few churches where they don't want anybody in there except for them. But you are people who, accept people who do not look like you, who do not smell like you, who do not act like you, who do not dress like you, and yet you still love them and say, hey, welcome to Richmond. If you don't believe me, just look how long the greeting takes. It takes a long time. We want to make sure everybody gets welcomed. Awesome. Way to go. I'm serious. Way to go. It's one of the best things going for Richmond. Keep that. Keep that. Keep that. But it extends farther than that. Because once those people that walk in and you see their dirtiness and you see their ugliness and their filth, make sure you extend your grace to them and love them anyway. Same thing with me as a pastor. Same thing with all of us as Christians. Take Richmond completely out of it. You as a Christian should walk in grace. Grace with one another. So I'm going to ask, when Paul went into churches, he would often play an interim pastor type of a role. He would go into a church, if you study the New Testament, he would go into the church, he would address the issues, he would place some people in authority, he would confront sin, and then he would leave. I'll say that again. Many times when Paul went into a church, he would address the issues, he would confront sin, right? He would put some people in authority, and then he would leave. And when he left, every single time, he would give a farewell prayer or a farewell statement, also known as a benediction. The last thing that he said to the church. And that benediction, that farewell prayer, is what I, and I'm not comparing myself to Paul, but what I would like to give to you, a farewell prayer, a farewell statement to you that talks a lot about grace. Grace. I've come into this place, and in 6 months, yeah, I've done some of the things that Paul has done in some of the churches. Some things I haven't done. Some things I've done more. But the statement and the farewell prayer, I want it to be the same. And we're going to read some of these today, and it's not going to take long, so don't freak out, okay? It's not going to take too long. But would somebody read, whoever has this, somebody read Romans chapter 16, verse 20. Just stand up and read it aloud. Romans 16, 20. Paul said, the grace of our Lord Jesus will be with you. Somebody read 1 Corinthians 16, 21 to 24.
The greeting is in my own hand, Paul. If anyone does not love the Lord, he is to be accursed. There are nothing. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with you, Paul, in Christ Jesus.
Amen. You know, the Corinthian church, the church in Corinth, was filled with sexual immorality, people just sleeping with all kinds of different people. He went in there and tore some things up and addressed a lot of issues, and he says at the end of it, grace be with you. For 2 Corinthians. Corinthians was so bad, they needed a second letter. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. Amen. Paul said that. Galatians chapter 6, verse 17 through 18.
Finally, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the mark of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.
Amen. Ephesians chapter, by the way, they're not flipping to this quickly. We already gave it to them. There's some fast Bible readers there. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 23. Go! Oh, that's fast. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you just say yes if you love our Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Okay, then grace to all of you and grace to me. Okay, the next one, Ephesians. Did we go to Ephesians? We just did Ephesians, huh? Philippians chapter 4, verse 23.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit.
Amen. Paul said that. Colossians chapter 4, verse 18. Grace be with you. Remember my chains. Colossians chapter 4, verse 18. Oh, I'm sorry. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 28.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 18.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. Grace be with you. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 22. We're getting the idea here, right, people? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you.
Titus chapter 3, verse 15. Grace be with you all. Philemon 1, 25. Okay.
I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will be kind to you, but I'm sure
grace be with you. Grace be with you. Excellent. What is the one word that Paul used absolutely every single time when he left a church? Say it out.
Grace.
Grace. Grace. What is grace? Say, Jeff, we haven't defined it yet. Check this out. J.D. Thomas, in the Biblical Doctrine of Grace, says this. Excellent definition. He says, and listen carefully, grace is an attitude which God holds, in which he looks upon sinful man with mercy and love and kindness and bestows undeserved and unmerited favor upon him. Wow. The unmerited and undeserved favor of God. You and I know Jeff McCoy, I need the unmerited and the favor of God over my life. That's grace. That's what grace is. Other people need your unmerited favor on them. Great analogy here is one of the things that Rebecca and I have noticed since coming to Portland, it rains here, right? It rains. I knew it rained. Somebody said, yeah, it kind of rains over there in Portland. It rains here in Portland, right? But you know, God's grace is like this. Rain is our sin constantly, constantly coming down. Kind of like Portland. Constantly, constantly raining. That's our sin hitting the windshield. God's grace is like the windshield wipers. Whoosh, wiping them away. As much as we sin, the amount of time that we sin, and all of the things that we do, God's windshield wipers just keep washing them away. Washing them away. Praise the Lord. That's the grace of God. Sometimes often we can think that God, and I've said this before, but God sits up in his big throne making check marks by our name because, oh, we messed up there. Oh, we messed up there. Oh, you messed up there. Oh, Jeff, you did this. Don't you remember? And he doesn't do that. When we ask for forgiveness, we ask for his grace as far as the heavens, or excuse me, as far as the east is from the west. He removes our transgressions. That's the grace of God. Somebody asked Jesus one time how many times we should forgive our brothers and sisters. And Jesus responded, good, 70 times 7. He wasn't saying 490 times. And then on 491, yeah, hold a grudge, baby. He wasn't saying that. He wasn't saying that. He was saying as long as it takes, as much as they need it, continue to give it. That's kind of catchy. As much as they need it, continue to give it. A prayer, when Paul used this phrase, grace be with you, it was more than just a benediction, though. It was a prayer for that church, a prayer that they would walk under God's grace, under the hand of God's grace, and also a prayer that they would have grace with one another in that church. And that is my prayer for the Richmond Community Church here, that you would walk under the grace of God. God said, my grace is sufficient enough for thee. This is not a convenient time to be without a pastor, but you know, God says, my grace is sufficient for thee. You can walk under the hand of grace. And my prayer for you is that you would have grace with one another. Now, here we go. I'm going to share something from my heart, if that's okay. It's easy, and I've asked the Lord, should I say this? And yeah, it's okay. It's easy. When there is no leader, when there's no clear shepherd, it's easy for people to rise up against people. It's easy for lines to be drawn and authority to be fought over and things like that. And my prayer for Richmond Community Church and for any church that goes without a shepherd for a time being is that you would have hands and attitudes of grace toward one another. Grace. Oh, okay, so he didn't preach quite like I would have preached it. Grace. Oh, well, the board made this decision. Grace. Oh, the pack decided to go this route. Grace. Grace for one another. Grace. This church can rise on grace. It can sustain itself and even move forward and fight against the enemies when there's grace. When there's grace working in people's lives and in your attitudes, it's very hard for Satan to fight. It's very hard. Because what can you do? Oh yeah, you screwed up. Grace. It's okay. That's my prayer for you. Is that okay? Is that all right that I pray for you about that? Kind of quiet in here. Huh. You know, I think I'm going to stop there. Yeah. The Bible's closed. Okay? Shut your Bibles if you would. I want to share with you just a few things. I need your grace. I've had people come to me privately here in the church. And the church here is small enough to disclose this and talk about this, okay? If you're a guest here this morning or if you've just been here a couple weeks, grab some popcorn and a soda. Just listen, okay? It's okay. Chill out. I invite you into this. Don't be nervous. There's nothing wrong here. I'm just going to share from my heart. Some people have come to me privately and said, Jeff, you're making a mistake. Or another thing is, Jeff, we're really hurt. You have misled us. Somebody actually told me, you have misled us here. And I need to pause here for a moment and give some clarification to this. And this ties into grace, and we're going to get into that in just a sec. I need to, in reflection, I need to apologize to you. In some aspects, I have misled you. In some aspects. And here's how. Here's how. I promoted vision. I promoted a lot of vision into the church. Into the church. When I was wrestling, even with if we were the right fit. Remember how when I first announced the resignation, I said, one of the things, one of the four reasons, which are the reasons, by the way, one of the four reasons is we just didn't sense we were the right fit for what the church was used to. And in that, I was trying to communicate that the vision and the things that I feel, I'm not sure are exactly what people are wanting here, okay? But I continued to push on into the vision. I continued to say, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. All the way up until the end, we went on Christmas break, and we came back, and we said, right, we resigned. And all of a sudden, people were like, what happened? You were just talking about vision and talking about doing this and all that. And in that aspect, I need to apologize to you as a pastor. In some aspects, I misled you. Rebecca and I were wrestling with this decision long before the Christmas break. Okay? Long before we came back, we were wrestling with this decision. We were wrestling with this decision 3 months into being here. Okay? I've just said it. 3 months. And yet I went another 3 to 4 months just... Is that right? Is that the math? No. Another 3 months. 2 to 3 months talking about vision. And for that, I apologize. I do. I apologize. I need your grace. I'm one of those guys that I'm just pedal to the metal, turn the throttle up, we're going. You know, I don't like to be mediocre. I don't like to stand still. I don't like to do things in a stagnant state and wait around till everybody approves of it. I like to move forward. And I did. And in some aspect, I misled you. And I'm sorry. I am. And I say that genuinely. I am. I'm sorry. I need your grace, okay? I need your grace. If you haven't noticed, this is my first time, right, at this, and I'm learning as I go. I need your grace. In some aspects, I feel that to some degree, you have misled me and Rebecca and I, to some degree. Marv, and I'm not going to embarrass you, Marv. It's okay. The chairman of the board stood up prior to our arrival here and said, if you vote for Jeff to come, you are going to support him with the vision that he brings about. You're going to support him as a shepherd when he says he needs to go about this. And some of those things I implemented and wanted to do, I did not get some of the support. That covenant relationship was missing. It was missing there. And to some degree, in my opinion, and it's okay for me to share this, we're just having a talk. I feel and I sense that you have, in some degree, some of you, not all of you, some of you have misled us in the coming year. I think once you saw the change and you said some of the changes coming about, you said, well, I'm not sure this is one of the stuff that I want to do. And that's okay. You know why? Grace. Grace. I have grace for you. Rebecca, we're going to choose, right, to have grace for those people that did not support the vision. Grace. That's what Christianity is about. And I'm going to ask one favor in grace, and you can ask me of a favor. My name is going to come up when you choose your next pastor. You know that? You're going to talk about me. I know you are. You know why? Because when I was here, you talked about Pastor Doug, and you brought up some of the stuff with him. And you're going to bring up some of the stuff with me, and about how I handled it, how I mishandled it, this situation. And I'm asking you for unmerited favor and grace when you speak about me and my family. And you know what? In return, I'm going to share grace about the Richmond Community Church. Not fake stuff. We're not talking about being fake and being false. I'm talking about what Christianity is all about, sharing grace. Grace. We don't have to agree on everything, but you know what? We can sure love each other and have grace for each other. Right? Some of you are angry at me, and some of you are really disappointed. You have a right to be. You have a right to be. But I need your grace. I'm a little disappointed that this thing didn't work out too. You know that? I really am. I'd be lying to you if I wasn't. And we're going to have grace. So I ask for your grace. grace. So let's do something real quick. Let's stand up. If you're a guest here, boy, I do not want to make you feel awkward at all. You do not have to do this, okay? But I'm wondering if we could, we're a small enough church here, and this is a small enough room, if we could just make a circle. Can we make a circle, everybody? And if you're a guest here, you don't want to, that's okay. Just stand to the side or go to the back. We're just going to make a circle here. You've done this before? When did you guys do this before? Really? You've done it before. Okay. Again, if you're a guest, I apologize, sort of. This is what Christianity is all about. You don't have to hold hands. If you want to, you can, but you don't have to. Can somebody tell me who's in the center of the circle? No, I'm not. Nobody is. Christ is. Somebody said it, Christ. Pastor Frank said it when two or more are gathered. There I am in the midst. He read that, right? Christ is in the midst of this church. Follow Christ. Leaders will let you down, including me. Leaders will sometimes let you down. Follow Christ. Your hope is in the Lord. And I need your grace, and you need my grace. And I love you guys, and you love me. Hopefully. But you know, when I go home and I talk to my family and everybody asks me what happened at Richmond and what happened, and if I talk to another ministry leader and the people at the Church of God Association office in Southern California and they ask me what happened at Richmond, what happened at Richmond, you know what I'm going to say? Those people are wonderful. They have a heart for God. They love the Lord. They love each other. Wonderful people. I'm going to have words of grace toward you. You know that? Because you need it. I need it. And I'm asking, when you bring your pastor in, the interim, that when you talk about Jeff McCoy, just please, words of grace, please. I need it. Do I deserve it? No. No, I don't. Let's have grace toward one another. Have grace. Okay, amen. I'm not quite sure what to do here. What's appropriate? Pray? Yes. Amen. Does anybody, you can. Yeah. You can. Let's pray here. Let's pray. Yeah, let's pray. Sorry for the long pauses. I'm just... Yeah, this is one of those... You know, if you're a guest here, you're probably saying, what is going on here? You know, you came at the end of the movie with the credits running. So, this is what Christianity is about, man. It really is. I believe that. Thank you for letting me shepherd you guys. Thank you for letting me pastor you. Thank you for opening your homes and your heart to me and Rebecca. Thank you for that. It was an honor. It was an honor. Learned a lot about myself. Learned a lot about God. Learned a lot about Christians and church. Learned a lot in 6 short months. Thank you. You could have chose a lot of other people. I know that. Thank you. I appreciate it. Father, we come before you today in a circle, symbolizing unity. There's no center. You are the center of this church. And Lord, there are things in our hearts that weigh heavily on us. God, I know there's a chamber in my heart that I've also compromised. I haven't held sacred for you, that has been only for you. And I am asking, Lord, that you replace that in me. I pray, Lord, that the people in their hearts, every person in here whose hearts are torn or whose hearts are angry or disappointed, who have no more empty chambers for the Holy Spirit, I pray that you create one in their heart and let the Holy Spirit fill it. Father, I pray Psalms 121 over this church that our help comes from you, that our eyes would be lifted up to the heavens. You watch over us. You're going to watch over Rebecca and I as we leave and enter into a new journey. You're going to watch over the people here at Richmond. That's what you do as a father. You watch over us. Thank you for that, God. I thank you, Lord, for every person in this circle. I thank you, God, for the love and the care and the friendliness and the support that they have given Rebecca and I. Thank you for their passion. Thank you for their dedication, their commitment to your church. Wow, it's amazing, Lord. Thank you, God, for that. I pray that you continue to lead them. I pray for the leaders in this church, the people that are in leadership positions, the board, the pack, the staff, the ministry leaders. Leaders that are not in a recognized position, but they're still leading. I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit will lead them. That, God, they will be following you, not you following them. I pray grace over decisions that they make. I pray grace over these people. Forgive me, God, for just things I haven't done well. Forgive me, Lord, for sin. Forgive me, God, for the things that I need forgiveness for. Forgive us all. We love you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray these things as Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. You want to pray for me? You have time? After worship. Okay. Let's close in one song. This is a good song to close in too. So we're going to close in a song. And let's stand. Can we stay in the circle? Is that all right? Or stay in the circle as we sing this.